Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
And we're back, just like that, in a flash. So, you know, I've been answering reader and listener questions. I've got a couple. If you'd like to ask me a question, please do. info@davidholland.com. And just give me your name, first name. I won't mention your last name. And your name in town, name in town, name in time, if you wish to opine. And then what Bill O'Reilly says, well, no opining here. Just I'll answer your questions and... you're welcome to share your opinion, though. Okay, so a couple things I want to get to. First, a question I received from Chris in Ormond Beach. And I love this question. Did I say I love it? I love it. Because it's so, it just captures so many things that I want to talk about very often with people. I have people that come in and say, I've got some money I want to invest. And I say, okay. They say, well, what can we do? I say, all right, well, before we do, I've got questions for you. What do you mean? Well, I need to know more about your situation before I can tell you. You know, it's not like, I try to think of a good analogy quickly. It's not like, you know, there's one best thing. Like, okay, here are four things and here they are, one through four. You know, you're not shopping for a new muffler or, okay, you've got this kind of car and here are the three tires and here's the best, here's the second best, here's the third and the cheapest. It doesn't really work that way when it comes to finances and investments, and at least for an advisor or somebody who's trying to, you know, do this properly, most of the time, I usually am answering questions with questions saying, well, first tell me about your situation. So back to Chris. Chris says, I've got $100,000 in cash. I want to buy a house within 2 years. How should I invest the cash until then? Did I say I love this question? I love this question. Here's why. The answer for Chris's question is, you should not invest. What? What do you mean? You don't want to invest my money? Well, yeah, I love investing people's money. That's what I do. I love it. But, and that's what I'm in business to do. But if you've got a 2-year window and you're going to need that cash, you don't invest that. Well, I'm only going to make, one quarter of 1% at the bank. Well, too bad. So what? That's just that's the way it is. I'm sorry. That's just the way, that's the reality of the interest rate environment. That's just the way it is. So, because to do otherwise can create problems. So here's what I'm talking about. Number one, a real estate deal might come faster than you expect. So if you tie your money up, then you might not have the $100,000 to work with if you've got to get your money out of something that you've got to pay a penalty or something else. And number two, even more of a concern, even the most conservative investments are going to have the potential to fluctuate. You're not going to want to put it in something that ties up your money. So you're going to be looking at, you know, liquid, do a portfolio of securities or mutual funds or bonds or whatever. They can go down in value. Even the most conservative portfolio I offer my clients, we call it conservative income. It's going to go up and down. Why? Well, it's invested in a combination of bonds, short term for the most part, but bonds and stocks. Now, I do that through no-load funds and exchange-traded funds, very diversified, very little exposure to any one company or issuer, but they still can go down in value. So let's say the opportunity comes along and you need to use your $100,000, but oh, wait a minute, it's only worth $90,000 because the market took a drop. I talk about the market having a normal heartbeat of a 1% fluctuation. Well, $1,000 on $100,000 is 1%. You don't have the $100,000 you need, Chris. You'd have $99,000. And that assumes no cost of getting out or any of that. So these are some of the realities. So when you think about your situation, I've thought through this. And so this will hopefully be helpful Let me kind of run through. I went through and kind of identified some of the things that I would recommend to someone that they do before they actually invest their money. So let's not, it's exciting to invest. There's a thrill there. I think it's a little bit like, for some people, like gambling, and it stimulates the brain somehow. It releases chemicals and endorphins, and it's fun. It feels good. But when it doesn't do well, or if you haven't taken care of other things, it could be a problem. So let me go through some of the things that I think would be important. And you've heard it before if you've listened on the program, but I don't think you can hear these things too often. Number one, establish a cash emergency fund. Every single person I meet with, my first question is, let's talk about cash you have on hand. How much do you have? Let's talk about your situation. And we want to have a cash emergency fund. I know it's not going to make any money, but we need to have cash money on hand for emergency. Now, when I say emergency, I don't mean that it's all of a sudden, it's, you know what, it's an emergency. I got to get down to the kitchen remodeling store to put a new kitchen in the house. That's not a real emergency, okay? If the house burns down or you have a fire and the kitchen's burned up, that's an emergency, okay. But when we talk about having cash on hand, we want to have a true cash emergency fund that is in reserve. And then in addition to that, before we invest, we need to set money aside for the new motorcycle, the new boat, the new kitchen, the big trip, a new roof, a new car, whatever. Those things need to be set aside as well. So I distinguish between large purchases that are planned and a true cash emergency fund. Number two, if you don't have medical insurance, get it. There's lots of things that are coming down the line with medical insurance availability. So be looking at that. And if you are in your 50s or older, take a hard look at long-term care if you don't have it, and at least investigate it. Not everybody has to have it. Not everybody should have it, but at least take a look at it. Number three, life insurance. Should you have it? Is what you have the right for you? I just met with a gentleman a couple days ago. He says, here's my situation. I'm thinking about getting life insurance. We talked. I said, you don't need it. What? No, you don't need it. I mean, you've got a policy. It's due to expire. It was like a 10-year level term policy. And after the 10 years, the premiums are going to go through the roof. You don't need it. I looked at his situation. He's single. He has one beneficiary. I said, you don't need the policy. He had other assets that would be sufficient. So, but if you don't have it or you're not sure if you have enough, get with an independent advisor. You can do your own homework, but advisors know quite a bit about insurance. Get with somebody and talk to them. Same thing about step four. If you're working, disability insurance is very important. There's statistics out there that say it's even more likely to be disabled than to die, and that can really be a problem. Number five, get a tune-up on your personal insurance. It went not long ago, I met with a local insurance agent, and they were actually able to help me with some savings. But my bigger concern was the gaps in some coverage that they found, and they helped me improve my policies, and that was a really good thing. We've talked about five things before we've even talked about investing yet. So these are things that take precedence over investing your money. Now, if you've got problems with your investments, then that's different. We need to address that. But the tune-up on your insurance is a great example. Those are things that really need to be looked at because you might need to spend some more money having the right kind of insurance. All right, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. I'll come back and give you the rest of the what I call my eight prudent steps to take before you invest. Stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. I'm running through some of the prudent steps to take before you invest. And I know that sounds odd to say from somebody that makes his living managing people's money, but it's real important that we do these things first because it will save us, I think, trouble down the line. Number six on my list of eight prudent steps is to get your estate planning done. I know that's so much fun. Do I go to the dentist and get the root canal or meet with the attorney to get the new will? Well, the dentist will give me Novocaine. I think I like that better. I know it's not fun, But do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney for somebody to make financial decisions in your place? Do you have a living will that authorizes somebody to tell the doctors to turn off the machine if you're not going to come back? Do you have a healthcare surrogate, which will allow somebody to make decisions for you to make you better, to maybe have surgery when you're not able to make those decisions? Do you need a trust? These are things to talk to an attorney about. And I will make my argument or case for meeting with an attorney and not trying to do that yourself on the computer or going to the office supply place and doing the fill-in-the-blank form. I met with somebody. I'm not going to mention who they are, when they were, how long it's been, because I don't want to them to feel like I'm picking on them. But I had somebody come in not long ago. They showed me their will, and because I routinely look at all this as just part of understanding somebody's situation. And listen to this. They had done it themselves. It was a trust. And it still had some of the boilerplate language. The formatting was bad. There was mistakes in the document. And I thought to myself, you know what? If there was ever a dispute, this thing's got some potential problems. So you save a few bucks by, quote unquote, doing it yourself. And then you end up having either a legal battle or money goes to somebody it's not supposed to go to, because the trust doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Don't do that. Okay. Who was it? Scotty's used to say, do it yourself and save. No, not with your will. I wouldn't do it. I know a fair amount about legal stuff. I'm not an attorney, but I know a lot about it. I've read my share of legal documents, and I wouldn't dream of doing that myself with whatever self-help technologies might be available on the internet. All right. So that's important to make sure that that's done. Number 7, eliminate debt. Well, which debt? Well, any of the credit cards, pay that stuff off. You've got a house, you got a mortgage. If the mortgage is more than, 3 or 4%, I would definitely look at paying it off. I had somebody in the other day, he's paying 5.8, something like that, 5.8%. I saw that, I looked at his situation, he had some cash money on hand that we were going to maybe invest. I said, before I invest this money, I actually would like to see you pay off this mortgage. There's still some money left over we can work with, but instead of looking at putting that money to work in the market and it potentially going down, we're going to pay off the mortgage and in effect earn him 5.8% for the life of that mortgage. I can't get you. I don't know of any advisors that can get you. It's not out there. 5.8 guaranteed, because that's what you get by paying off the mortgage. Now, you can certainly have the potential to make more than 5.8. But it's not guaranteed. It's going to have a risk, which means you might earn the 5.8, but the stock or the bond might go down 10%. Then what have you earned? You get a negative 4.2. So pay off debt. Start with the highest interest rate debt. Work your way down. And after you've done that, now if you've got a house mortgage 30-year at 3%, then I'm okay with that. And also, we've got to consider any of these. You do the 0%, and then at the end of the term, it jumps up to whatever rate. Got to pay attention to those as well. They do that for a reason, because enough people will get caught and they will be getting good interest on that. And then number eight, protect your identity. What's that got to do with investing? Well, why go to the trouble of investing for your financial future and laying up, hopefully a chunk of money in retirement for your retirement, or if you're already retired and, continuing to you're going to take the time to meet with an advisor to advise you on your money and get good advice and protect it, maybe with some of the money, put it in something safe and have some money that's, for growth. Go to all that trouble and then somebody steals your identity and steal your money. So obviously it's not a bulletproof thing. Things happen. But I'm a big fan of having an identity theft program, a plan. They're not that much money, $15 a month, something like that. We offer that in my office. That's something that I think is important. And it's worth the extra protection and assurances. So there's 8 steps right there before we invest. Why do all that? Well, I just think that's prudent. Now, when you're ready to invest, well, there's all kinds of things to do. But take these steps before you invest, because I think that will make the investing much better. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. You have cash money for an emergency. There's an emergency. Let's say that a tree falls through your roof or something happens and you've got to do $10,000 major outlay for whatever reason. You don't have to take money out of your investment account. If the market's down, you won't have to pull your money out. So that's just one simple example of the things that can happen and why you want that cash money on hand. All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we come back. I've got just a few more things to talk about. Stay right there, and we'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
This is your two-minute warning.
Yes, it is. A couple more things to be careful about. You know, I talked about the eight prudent steps. Here's a couple of things to watch out for. Some of this I've seen happen in real life. Be careful when you are looking at saving taxes. Some people get really caught up with cutting taxes, minimizing taxes. I understand, you know, you say, golly, they're just going to waste it. I hate that. I'm going to go over up to the line. I'm going to go over the line. I'm going to do things, everything I can to cut my taxes. Okay, so here's some things to be careful about, because I've seen people do this because they get a little whipped up in this. Don't go get a home mortgage just to have the deduction. My office hours are 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. If you'd like to bring me a dollar, I will give you a quarter every day of the week. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? If you have the ability to pay off your home, your mortgage, and it makes sense, you know, we talked about the interest rates and things like that, good. You don't need to have a mortgage. Don't take a bunch of money out of your 401k or IRAs all in 1 year to pay off a mortgage. So I like the idea of you paying off your mortgage, but don't use not taxed yet money to do that. The best way to draw money out of IRAs and 401ks when you retire is to take a little bit every year to keep you in a lower bracket. Also be careful not to take money out before you turn 59 and a half out of any of these qualified tax deferred accounts. IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, 457s, all that stuff has never been taxed. If you take it out before 59 and a half, you pay a penalty, 10%. Now, there are ways to work around that. It's section 72T. Yes, I am a CPA and I still remember that. There's a special section of the tax code that allows you to take money out before 59 and a half. But if you can avoid it, that's a good thing. And above all, whenever you're looking at these tax moves, just like I talked about talking to an attorney, talk to a CPA. Make sure you're not tripping. There are a lot of online resources available. There are a lot of calculators out there and some of them are very good. But that calculator or that online tool can never be a substitute for a real person who can engage and talk to you and understand your situation. Okay, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.